Saturday the 13th, my grandfather once told me, he said that Fridays are unlucky days, 13th days are unlucky days, but Friday the 13th is lucky. Anyway, today is Saturday the 13th. I hope that it will be lucky, since we're engaged in Krishna consciousness, and then these considerations shouldn't affect us. I'm sitting in a hotel again, the airport hotel, just in Paris. We'll be having meetings here today. It'll be my last meeting of the year, my year of commitment to the French Yatra. And I'll be going back to Hungary again this evening. I'm eager that I'm leaving in 5 days, and I wonder whether I'm going to have the opportunity to see a copy of Śrīla Bhakti-cintāmani. I really hope so. And now that I've mentioned Śrīla Bhakti-cintāmani, I'd also like to thank some of the devotees who've already ordered books in advance. Jai Gopal in the UK ordered 6 books, Satnam Prabhu 5 books. Sitaram Prabhu paid for 18 copies in advance. Murlihan Manohar, 25 copies. Thank you all so much for that. It really is a source of encouragement for me. And now before I go down, Nitai Satya Sutta Prabhu, who is in charge of our preaching center, is going to introduce me to our 2 new bhaktins, and they go out and distribute books, our Sankirtan ladies. I'm very eager to meet them. In fact, I'm supposed to talk to them in 2 minutes. But anyway, I'll be there a few minutes late. I got in here quite late at night, and somehow or another, by Krishna's arrangement, and that was the 12th, there was this baby crying next door, and in order to make it quiet, the father was doing some kind of hilarious antics that was louder than the baby, and although it didn't shut the baby up, it amused the wife and the other kids in the room, so they were all laughing. The only people who weren't laughing were me and the baby. Anyway, fortunately I had some earplugs, and I was able to take some rest until they all left early this morning and woke up the baby, who then also woke me up. Hare Krishna. So, here is from the 48th verse of Sri Uddhava Sandesh. Krishna is continuing to discuss, talk with Uddhava Ji. And he's talking about the gopis, preparing Uddhava for his trip to Vrindavan and for his delivering letters to all of his relatives, gopis and Srimati Radharani. Pulling the churning rope with both their splendid hands, slight smiles encircling their perspiring cheeks, curly locks of hair moving to and fro on the edges of their foreheads, their beautiful and talkative mouths filled with my glories, their playfully moving bracelets tinkling as they churned, and all these sounds gently and sweetly mixing together, the lotus-eyed gopis would churn yogurt and sing. When night came to an end, my pastimes of sleep also came to an end with the gopis' songs. A gopi said, "Dear gopi friend, if you again and again insist that I should remain angry and jealous, then please draw a picture of Krishna's enchanting form and give it to me. Staying in my room and plugging up my ears, I will gaze at that picture again and again. In this way, I will happily pass the night." A gopi said, "O Krishna, many girls in Braj yearn to enjoy pastimes with you. My friend is not like them. She does not desire you at all. In fact, whenever she sees you, the spiritual master of all rogues and cheaters, she becomes angry and places in the 2 archers' bows of her eyebrows many half-moon arrows of sidelong glances to attack you." A gopi said, "Please don't talk again about this rascal who plays by the Yamuna's bank. O restless messenger, I will not go anywhere near him. In this world, I am famous as a very hard and harsh person. The winter wind is the reason why the hairs of my body are now standing erect." Another gopi said, "O master, please keep your clever flatteries far away. Go to your own kingdom. Don't come into my courtyard. My friend is now completely exhausted. She spent the whole night waiting for a rake who enjoys with every single gopi." Another gopi said, "O beautiful one, the jasmine garland you liked is now wilted and thrown on the ground. Krishna with the lotus navel now stands dejected at your doorstep. Your friends have not slept the whole night. You pass the whole night weeping. Whatever new sweetness do you find in this jealous anger? I see no sweetness in it at all." A gopi said, "O Krishna, be intoxicated by the fragrance of my face. Why do you try to stop me from serving my husband? O humming bee, if your heart is tortured by thirst, you should fly over to the Punaga forest thick with white flowers." A gopi said, "O powerful gopi friend, even if I see Krishna approaching, I will not run and hide in this thick forest, for I will take shelter of you." Her friend replied, "O beautiful friend, don't worry about this Krishna in yellow garments who lives in your heart. As long as I am here, no one will have the power to touch you." Another gopi said, "You are a rogue. On the pretext of picking flowers, you tricked me to come far away in this forest. Why do you sing so loudly and cheerfully?" Then I replied, "O slender gopi, please don't be worried at heart for no reason. I sing only to please the black Krishna deer that live in Vrindavan." Then another gopi said, "On the pretext of fetching water, you come again and again to the Jamuna. O my friend, I know you have fallen in love with a person whose eyes are white lotus flowers." The gopi's friend then replied, "My heart doesn't like white lotus flowers. It is the red lotus of smiling and infallible Krishna that again and again I yearn to see." Then another gopi said, "O passionate girl, I see that you have made your home amongst the many crooked snake-like girls. Why do you long to embrace the peacock that is Krishna?" The gopi friend replied, "Friend, what you say is true, but it is not my fault. I do not approach him. It is Krishna who wears a splendid peacock feather and who is very proud of once defeating a snake, who approaches me and tries to embrace me whenever he sees me in the forest." There was another gopi who said, "Thirsty child Chandravali, please do not again and again run out of the house to look at the path where Krishna may perhaps walk at sunset." And Chandravali replied, "Foolish, beautiful friend, if I do not now find a fire to end all the coldness that numbs my heart, my sweet desire will never be fulfilled." Still another gopi said, "Dear friend, today Krishna, splendid like a glistening lotus flower and his graceful eyes sweet with passion, suddenly grabbed me with his hand and pulled me far away. That is why my every limb now trembles." Her friend replies, "O friend, bewildered at heart, speak softly. Your superiors are here." The first gopi then said, "Yes. As I said, in the forest by the Yamuna shore, a great black elephant grabbed me with its trunk." Then there was another gopi who said, "I yearned after Hari, who plays in the Vrindavan forest." Her friend replied, "Rascal, now I know that again and again you yearn after Nanda's son." But the first gopi replied, "Friend, don't worry. It's the splendid deer that I love," because here the word Hari means both deer and Krishna. In this way, the gopi spoke many profound and eloquent words. "I yearn to have many millions of years so that I may always drink the nectar of their words. O dear friend, filled with love and bliss, the gopi's words were always very clever and playful." Now here's an example of this. Sri Radha said, "Who is this dark girl?" Her gopi friend replied, "She's a gopi." Sri Radha said, "Why has she come here?" The gopi friend replied, "She seeks your friendship." Sri Radha said, "Then she's my friend." The gopi friend replied, "If that's so, you should embrace her again and again." Embracing me, and at once understanding that she was embracing Krishna disguised as a woman, proud Radha became embarrassed. Circling the lotus-filled lakes are many splendid and tall fences made with glistening stones, fences I made with my own hands to confine the quick and restless calves. A gopi said, "We do not know what fate Brahma has written on the forehead of gopis like us. O girl with a beautiful face, in a very secluded place, a messenger from the king now talks again and again to Krishna." Another gopi said, "O child, By the king of Braj's order, a gatekeeper makes at dawn an inauspicious announcement on the streets of the town. Again and again my right eye trembles, and my restless heart now breaks into pieces. Alas, I do not know what the future holds. Another gopi said, "Dear friend, hearing that in truth Krishna would leave tomorrow morning for the king's city, I prayed to the goddess of night that she would pass very slowly. Look, the sinful dawn very quickly came. Dark things like night are never kind to others." A gopi said, "O girl with a beautiful face, as long as Akura still has not taken Krishna from us, I bow down before you and beg a favor from you. Near my home is a jasmine vine, whose flowers are repeatedly picked to make earrings for Krishna. I ask you to take care of that vine after I am gone." This gopi is hinting that she's going to commit suicide when Krishna leaves. Still another gopi said, "O bewildered beautiful girl, don't you see the thunderbolts that are falling on our heads? Who will be left to take care of this flowering vine? I myself am already dead. Quickly follow me out of the house and into the courtyard. Already on the chariot, Nanda's son is now about to depart." Another gopi added, "O saintly girl, will the gopis do nothing to stop him? Will no one break the horse's legs? Will no one break the chariot's wheels? Is it true that Krishna, who killed the Keshi demon, will now go to Mathura?" Another gopi answered, "Akrura, messenger of the king, look, that slender, beautifully dressed girl before you wishes to do something terrible. As long as you do not send moon-faced Krishna down from the chariot, my friend will not drop from her hands the glistening black sword that seems to smile like the crescent moon." A gopi said, "O beautiful, bewildered girl, open your eyes for a moment and look at Krishna. Don't foolishly cheat yourself again and again. Even as he hears the beautiful gopi's plaintive words, cruel Akrura quickly drives the chariot far away." A gopi said, "O cruel Akrura, please don't, wishing to kill the gopis, rob Krishna from us. Please don't break the righteousness of the Yadu dynasty." "In this way," Krishna said, "as I left for Mathura city, the four directions were filled with the gopis' lamentations. Lake Pavana Sarovara is bathed by breezes carrying the scent of lotus flowers. Not far away are the glistening homes of many bumblebees. Nearby are many thickly shaded hidden forest groves, where I would always enjoy secret pastimes with the gopis that came there on the pretext of fetching water." One gopi said, "O mother, when the area around Nandishwan Hill, an area filled with the footprints Krishna left as he enjoyed pastimes, an area that is the most glorious in all the universes, walks on the pathway of my eyes, my heart suddenly bursts into flames." And another gopi said, "Either today or tomorrow, Krishna will playfully become like a charming flower garland wrapped around you. O garland fragrant with love for you, a garland fragrant with love for you. O girl with a beautiful face, with these laments, which are like thunderbolts that break the heart, why do you again and again set all your friends and relatives on fire?" One gopi said, "O girl whose hopes are now all dead, please do not shed so many tears so pitifully and uselessly." Her friend replied, "I would never voluntarily leave this peerless body, a body Krishna embraced many times. Of their own accord, the flames of separation attacked me. They churned my heart, burning again and again. They will surely cause this body to fall." Another gopi said, "What's the use of all these lamentations? You're throwing the whole world into an ocean of grief. Please be peaceful at heart. It is true that you once were bound with passionate love to Krishna, Krishna who now traveled on a road far from here. If that road Krishna, not remembering his promise, does not return to Braj, then the three worlds will know that it is he and not us gopis who are at fault." I'll continue tomorrow with verse 81 and read some more of these beautiful poems of Rupa Goswami, poems by which he reveals Lord Krishna's affection for Vrindavan and its resonance.